Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
You know, Randy, there is no doubt that the whiskey industry is on a downturn.
Yep. I've counted 7 whiskey distilleries that have filed bankruptcy.
Who are they?
Well, if you want to find out, then stick around.
Well, before we get into the bad news, here's the good news. Mm-hmm. Our patrons are awesome. Mm. We have a Patreon group. Those names you see on the screen right now are just the top 3 tiers. Mm-hmm. There's a whole group of people who are under the tiers that fit their budget and fit their needs perfectly, and they are who we have to thank. We wouldn't be on this show. We wouldn't be here on the webs, on the inner loops, and all the fancy ways that you're listening to us, whether it's podcast or video. We wouldn't be doing this without your support. So if you want to find out more about the Patreon options and why you should invest in a mission like what we've got going on here, stick around to the end of the video.
Yeah. So disclaimer, okay. There may be some additional distilleries that my research didn't turn up. So bankruptcy filings are actually in the federal courts, which mm-hmm. makes it easier to find this type of information, but there is a chance that I've overlooked something. So the information in this episode will drive home the points, even if I didn't get every single distillery.
Yeah, there could be more.
Yeah, there could be more. But I'm pretty confident in the list, but there's only so much time I can spend researching one episode.
Well, let's get right to the list. I mean, who's number one on the list that you found out?
The first one that's on the list, and I don't know if they're the first ones that filed, was Luca Mariano Distillery in Danville, Kentucky.
Okay. Oh, Kentucky Distillery.
Yeah, several of them are. The parent company is LMD Holdings. They filed for Chapter 11. Which there's two types of bankruptcy filings. There's Chapter 11, which basically means we're going to try and fix it. And Chapter 7, yeah. which means we're just going to sell everything we got and we're going to pay everybody back the best that we can.
Okay, kind of like playing craps then.
7-11, yeah. 7-11.
There we go.
And back to Little Joe. I don't remember what song that was. But
I don't either. I've never heard that before, but that was great.
You've heard it for sure. I think it was Dr. Dre. It may have been. I don't know.
Maybe just not the rendition you did.
Yeah, it wasn't great. I can't flow, bro. You know this.
I've heard you flow.
I don't know. I did flow one time on the podcast pretty good. That's pretty good. I could hit it again right now if I needed to. I ain't gonna lie.
Let's not.
Let's just move on. Let's move on. So it was mid-2025. They had $34.5 million in debt.
Ooh.
in their bankruptcy. There were 14 major creditors.
That'll help you lose some sleep at night.
Yeah, $34.5 million. It's not as big as what Uncle Nearest is being sued for, but that's a whole nother episode.
You should watch it if you haven't already.
But Luca had an 18-inch column still that was capable of producing about 18,000 barrels of whiskey per year. So, I mean, they're not like a Heaven Hill that is doing, you know, 1,700 barrels a day, right? But they were decent size.
Yeah.
So, like, one of our beloved distilleries are in route. They're like 850 barrels a year. So 18,000 is a lot.
Yeah. But what I understand about this place is it had a pretty large spread, though. I mean, if you're gonna need some land for distillery, and that's one thing, but these guys had like over 550 acres of farmland that they're using.
Yeah. So they opened up in this gigantic facility. They had a lot of carrying costs on their production because they had a lot of barrels in inventory. And they were trying to hold everything until it was at least 4 years old so they could release it non-age stated. Mm-hmm. And so they continue to operate as they reorganize, and they're hoping that the bankruptcy protection is just going to give them the time that they need to recover.
To kind of turn around.
So they're not actually like shutting down like some of these other distilleries.
Well, that's good.
So the next distillery on the list is Girard County Distilling.
Okay.
And this one was interesting because it was a $250 million facility.
That's huge, and I've literally never heard of this place.
Well, you shouldn't have because they closed down before they released the first product.
Okay, yeah. So, when you know things are going poorly.
So this facility was built by a company called Staghorn.
Wouldn't recommend them.
Yeah, and they entered into receivership and filed for bankruptcy in late 2024 through, and then I think the bankruptcy was filed in mid-2025.
Just bad timing or what?
Yeah. So what it looks like happened...
Because they come in right at the end of the boom.
Yeah. So it looks like they saw companies like Castle & Key and Bardstown Bourbon Company and MGP who were making operating profit by making whiskey for other non-distiller producers. Yeah. And they're like, dude, we're going to get in on this and we're gonna open up this huge facility and we're going to become the premier provider for other people while we build our other brands.
Yeah.
And then they opened up and started producing right at about the time that everyone figured out, uh-oh, we're making too much whiskey.
Yeah, and, we don't need you anymore.
All of the people that, you know, were being very demanding and saying you have to be on our list for 2.5 years, and then when we call you, you have to immediately pay for 1,000 barrels of production.
Right.
Otherwise, you're out of the list, and we're moving on to the next person because we don't need you. And then all of that kind of went away, and they're trying to enter in a market as a new brand that nobody's really heard of yet, and they don't have any aged whiskey to sell.
I mean, you can't blame them. The whiskey industry is all about prediction, you know, and forecasting. Because right now you're making whiskey that you hope has a demand in 4, 6, 8 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, something's happening right here. Let's jump in here because it could be even bigger.
Yeah.
And for them, it did not.
So Trust Bank appears to have pushed them into receivership because they defaulted on a $26 million debt.
Understandable.
And typically this just means that they're trying to get control over the business so that they can protect their assets. So they go to the courts and they go, hey, things aren't going well. They're defaulting. We don't think they're the right ones to run this. We want you to put somebody else in charge and make sure that we're protected. But... this ended up pushing them into bankruptcy. And so they were trying to continue to operate the business and preserve value, but eventually they shut down operations, which is a sign that they're not going to work their way out of receivership. It looks like they're probably going to start liquidating things.
Yeah.
So
best of luck to you guys over there in Charlotte County.
Hello and welcome to today's episode of What You Have on Your E-commerce Site. I'm your host, Randy Sullivan. Let's get right to the questions. Do you have Glen Toppers? Yes. Do you have t-shirts? Yes. Do you have bottle carrying bags? Yes. Do you have storage? Yes. Do you have an aroma kit? Yes. People, we have everything at bourbonrealtalk.com. This is stupid. Why do we even need a game show?
Now, I will tell you about another brand that I feel like we did an episode maybe last year that they were facing some troubles, but that's Kentucky Owl.
Kentucky Owl, their parent company, Stoli Group USA, of the famed vodka brand.
They filed Chapter 11, huh?
Yeah, they did. We talked about it a little bit last year, but I thought it was appropriate to throw it in this episode. So Stoli Group was owned by a Russian oligarch, and then he got into beef with the Russian government. He had to flee. The Russian government claims they own Stoli. He says... too bad, so sad, no, I own it. You weren't allowed to take it from me. And they say, no, it was totally legal. So there's all this battle. But eventually he opened up Stoli Group USA and ended up buying Kentucky Owl. And they filed Chapter 11 in November, Stoli Group did.
And they were an NDP.
Yeah. Right? They were not selling their own whiskey. They were NDP and they were really high price. So their price ranges that I looked up were between like $95 and $400 a bottle.
Their bottles were always up there.
And do you know a lot of people paying $400 for...
Not anymore.
Not anymore. I think that market's pretty well gone. So...
during COVID, sure.
Yeah. The market just won't tolerate that anymore.
Yeah.
And they also had this crazy... plan to build a $150 million bourbon theme park.
I remember that. Like a bourbon theme park. I mean, let's mix theme park with whiskey, and that would be just a grand old time. Never happened.
Nothing could go wrong. Yeah, they never really broke ground on that. And their whole business model was based on fear of missing out, right?
Yeah.
And once that kind of went away, then so did the business opportunity. We have a representative of that bottle here, but there's another representative we have on the table.
This stuff right here, Westward, mm-hmm. I got to admit, I haven't had a whole lot of it, but what I just sipped out of there is wild.
Yeah.
It's like fruity candy flowers.
Yeah, yeah.
Wild flavors.
And this is a single barrel select that we picked. So Westward was kind of known for a couple of things.
Yep.
So Westward's actual distillery name is House Spirits Distillery.
Yeah, because actually I was going to come out with a brand called Westward.
Oh, Westward.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
That's why they changed it to House Spirits Distillery.
They had to. Yeah. Intellectual property violation.
Wild Turkey 102. Yeah, Westward.
Yeah.
All these brands coming at me. I'm like, listen,
hey,
bro,
calm
I was
down.
Here first.
I was here first.
Yep.
Yeah, you're second fiddle, you know?
Get out of here.
Yeah, so they're out of Portland, Oregon. They filed Chapter 11.
Mm-hmm.
Which means they're trying to reorganize in April 2025.
That was, not long ago.
Not long ago. They cited liquidity, meaning they had cash flow trouble, just like some of the other brands that we've talked about in this and other episodes.
It's glad to know that I'm not alone. Sometimes I have cash flow problems.
I do like, too.
You know,
yeah.
Like, what's going on here?
Real estate is not always kind.
And then guys get with cash flow problems with millions of dollars. I'm like, okay, I feel better.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But, you know, it was fast growing, though.
It was.
Now, Westward took off there for a while.
They did. So the parent company actually, they were a very attractive company for investment. And so...
I feel like Diageo, like one of the bigger...
Yeah, Diageo ended up investing in them.
Yeah.
And they were growing based on their short-term success. Mm-hmm. Like the market was never going to shift.
Yeah.
And there was a little bit there, especially during COVID, where people were more open to American single malts when bourbon was harder to find and things like that.
Didn't Ryan Reynolds in some way have something to do with Westward?
Yes, yes. Aviation Gin is distilled at the Westward Distillery.
Okay, okay. So yeah. I was like, I feel like during their big boom there, Ryan Reynolds was a part of it.
Yeah. So Ryan Reynolds partnered with this distillery. They built Aviation Gin. They sold it to Diageo in 2016. Mm-hmm. They continue to contract distill for them, which is good because it probably means that they'll be able to work their way out of bankruptcy in some way.
Yeah.
Because they have plenty of good revenue flow, just not enough to support all of the investment that they have in barrels. But they are saddled with a lot of carrying costs. That inventory can't be eliminated, and the revenue's just not sustaining the carry cost because of all of the investment that they took on from Diageo. So.
Yeah, and they're continuing to operate, and hopefully that this bankruptcy protection kind of will allow them to resolve their issues, get back on track, and keep chugging.
Yeah, so they had an operating agreement with Diageo that prevented them from doing a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Like once they took money from Diageo, they couldn't do anything without Diageo's permission.
Mm-hmm.
So by filing bankruptcy, they now get to go to the bankruptcy trustee and say, I know my agreement says this with them, but don't you agree that it'd be in the company's best interest if we were allowed to do this, this, and this? And if the trustee says yes, the answer is yes.
Oh, okay.
And so a lot of the reason for this bankruptcy probably had to do with the fact that their hands were tied by their Diageo agreement, and this gives them temporary relief as long as the trustee thinks that they're going to be able to pay Diageo back because they're able to make these moves, the trustee will approve it. So,
okay.
Yeah, so I think it'll allow them to recover. I don't see this brand going anywhere.
Yeah. Well, next up on our list is another distillery that I've not really heard of, but it's the Montana Distillery.
Montana.
In Montana.
Yeah, and they filed for Chapter 11. In April.
April was a bad month for some distilleries.
It was. That was the month where everybody's like, all right,
we don't know what we're doing.
We've been kicking this can down the road, hoping it'd get better.
Let's get this figured out. They're not as bad off, but they're just south of $1 million.
Yeah.
As far as...
Yeah, it wasn't a huge bankruptcy.
Right. But
So this was one... They had built a lot of solid local demand.
Mm-hmm.
But in their area, COVID shutdowns had a much larger financial impact because it lasted for a lot longer and it was much more restrictive.
Oh, okay.
So there were some states that were less affected by those types of things. They also have some really stupid laws in the state that make it almost impossible for a brand.
In Montana?
Yeah.
You'd think that's the Wild West. They'd let it go.
Would think that, but we're going to talk about why that is.
We need, the
stupid rule.
Kevin Costner go up there.
Oh, yeah. He could.
Yellowstone.
Yellowstone that and fix it right up.
All right.
Yeah. So, they can only sell 2 ounces of alcohol to a customer.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Per day.
What?
Yeah. 2 ounces.
Two ounces is what I use to kind of clear my palate. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I just kind of swish it around and get going.
So you're not going to be able to survive by attracting people to come to your distillery and have a good time and buy products and all that stuff if they've got to drive all the way across town. When they get there, they can have one drink, and then they got to leave and go someplace else. And that just doesn't make any sense.
That's wild.
Right. And that law is 100% enforced to protect the state government's monopoly, because Montana is a control state, which means the government controls alcohol distribution.
Yeah.
And so basically it made it impossible for them to get their products to consumers.
Man.
And there's really not a lot that you can do about that if you're operating in that kind of state. Now, this one surprised me a little bit. This is a Texas producer.
Oh, yeah. The old Devil's River.
Devil's River.
You know what? The first time I heard about this whiskey is when I went down to the Devil's River. And I did a 4-day kayaking trip on the Devil's River, which is one of the most beautiful places in Texas. Great fishing, beautiful crystal clear water. But while we were there, when we got done, they had Devil's River whiskey and we drank some. That's the first time I ever even heard about it.
Yeah, so Devil's River Holding LLC and Devil's River Distillery LLC filed for Chapter 11 protection on May 1st, 2025.
I hate that.
Under Subchapter V, citing debts between $1 million and $10 million.
I hate to see it.
And this is actually an example of a whiskey with plenty of demand that was forced into bankruptcy by its distribution structure. The three-tier system strikes again.
Yes, way to go, guys.
Yeah, so basically what happened, they hired... This is going to get like kind of detailed, but it is what it is. So they hired 375 Park Avenue Spirits, which is the name of a company. That was formerly known as Luck Door International LLC to do marketing. And it's kind of what I'd call a broker. So I've complained about this before, but if you own a spirits brand and you go into a state and you go to the wholesaler and you go, hey, I think I have a good product, will you help me sell it? And they go, yeah, we want to get more money per bottle than you do when we sell it, though. And you go, oh, okay, what are you going to do? And they go, okay, well, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get you distribution, or I'm going to get you points of distribution. I'm going to do all the sales for you. I'm going to bring your product in. I'm going to do logistics and everything. And you go, oh, okay. And then they bring in an order and then they go, hey, your product's not selling. I guess it sucks. But we have all this inventory, you know, so you're going to have to come in and help us sell it because we have all this inventory. And then you go to market and it turns out they never tried to sell it.
Right.
And what a lot of people are doing is hiring these third party companies called brokers. And they're basically like fractionally owned local sales reps, right? So maybe you can't have a sales rep in San Antonio, Austin, Houston, and Dallas, Fort Worth, right? Maybe you can't afford to have that many people, and maybe you can't afford to have one person that travels to all those markets, but you could hire a broker that has one person in all those markets, and then they're representing 10 different brands, but they're fractionally owned, so you get a little bit of attention from them. And so that's kind of what it looks like this company was doing for them. And then Sazerac Corporation, that owns Buffalo Trace Distillery, and 1792 ended up buying this broker, right?
Oh, okay.
And what's interesting is brokers basically add like a fourth tier.
I know, it's like the three-tier system plus brokers.
Plus brokers, because the broker is in between the producer and the wholesaler,
yeah.
And they add an extra layer of expense, and often they do get paid as a percentage of the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really is like a fourth tier. And it
sounds like a scam.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this kind of
You're already paying a wholesaler,
right?
But that's their job,
right? There's the fact that brokers exist and brand reps exist means that the three-tier system is broken, and there's people extracting money out of the system that aren't earning their keep, basically.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like they had a ton going for them. They had a lot of opportunity, but it's just the system kind of failed them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and they had to file bankruptcy to get out of this agreement. So just like with the other agreement that we were talking about, where once they took money from Diageo, there was a lot of stuff they couldn't do. This is that type of situation where they were under this agreement with this third party, but now that they filed bankruptcy, they get to go to the trustee and go, hey, we don't think this makes sense, and there's this other way to do it that's going to make us more money. Do you agree, trustee? And the trustee goes, yep. And then they get to go, we're not doing what you told us to do anymore because the trustee said it was okay.
Right.
And so this is another situation where I think they're probably going to recover and make their way out. All right, what's next on the list, Wes?
Well, a tiny little distillery up in Rochester, New York that, again, I've not heard of, but the old Black Button Distillery.
I've actually had their whiskey.
Have you?
Yeah, so I think it was in a competition that Alex Baptista put together a couple years ago.
Oh, okay.
Where we were trying all of these finished whiskeys in like a tournament bracket.
Oh, nice.
And,
okay.
I do remember that. And Black Button was in there. And so I have had a chance to try them before.
But let me guess, they filed for bankruptcy around April 2025?
Yeah. The record said mid 2025, so it may have been after April. Oh. But they had been in business for 13 years.
That's surprising, because a lot of these other people have not been in that long, right?
No. And the other thing that was really interesting about this one is that they just shut down and they're liquidating. And it looks like they're going to be able to pay the creditors off entirely without any court involvement.
Really?
So this is not your typical like bankruptcy. This is more of a failure.
Yeah.
Right? So normally the reason why you go into bankruptcy is, let's say that you owe $1 million, mm-hmm. and you've been trying to get the company going and all that stuff, and you get to a point where the company is only worth $800,000, but you owe people $1 million. And if you try to liquidate the assets, you maybe won't get $800,000. Maybe you only get $600,000 for mm-hmm. those assets. Well, now you have a situation where you've got $1 million worth of creditors, or there's different classes of creditors, right? Yeah. But you only have $600,000. And the bankruptcy courts come in and make sure that whatever their assets are sold for peak value, and that no one creditor gets an advantage over somebody else. But if you are running a business that you've realized is not viable and it's no longer worth your time, so they maybe weren't even losing money, but maybe the owner and his wife had to work there full time, kind of like how the podcast works. For the record, folks, Wes and his ministry and Chrissy Lynn make more money than Lindsay and I do running all of this stuff, right? So, you know, we do this as a passion project so that we can be effective in fundraiser efforts. But, you know, there could be a scenario where somebody is in the position that we're in and we go, you know what, this isn't worth it,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it looks like that's what happened with them, because they were able to liquidate everything and pay off all of their creditors. They didn't actually have to go into mm-hmm. bankruptcy. But part of the reason why I heard of them, did you ever hear about Empire Rye?
No.
So for a while there was this move in New York
mm-hmm.
that there were a handful of distilleries that were buying locally. They were sourcing locally produced rye grain, and then they were making rye whiskey in the state.
For New York.
And they said, let's create something that's similar to Tennessee whiskey,
mm-hmm.
right? This is still rye whiskey, but we want it to be a special state-specific subcategory called Empire Rye.
Mm.
And they had kind of the rules of if you wanted to call it Empire Rye, and they were trying to get state law passed. to keep other states from producing anything called Empire Rye.
Yeah.
And so they were kind of luminaries and whatnot, and their whiskey was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And they were popular, but they expanded with money from Constellation Brands, and the carry cost was too large to make the operations worth you know, going forward. So
now this is interesting because it doesn't sound like they're really, you know, they're not trying to turn things around.
Mm-mm.
You know, and after being around that long, you know, it makes you kind of wonder if they're, you know, the operating agreements is the issue, or finding new capital, or like what's really the problem.
Yeah, I would speculate that they had some restrictions that were, you know, kind of similar to the other brands that we talked about that took money from a big company and now they're on lockdown.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would guess Constellation prevents them from finding new capital. Mm-hmm. But bankruptcies have various classes of creditors. And it seems possible that all debt holders that were secured or unsecured are being made whole through the shutdown. So they just could avoid bankruptcy altogether. Right. And it sounds like they were not being forced into receivership or anything like that from non-payment of debt. I think they were operating okay. It's just, it wasn't worth carrying forward.
Yeah. Well, so, you know what we should do to kind of brighten up this episode a little bit? Because it's a little bit sad.
Yeah, it is.
Point. I feel it, man. I feel like a little tears on the verge of falling, but I feel like we should pay homage to a couple of these brands that we saw here through the episode, Westward and Kentucky Owl.
Mm-hmm.
And we should do, I mean, I think we should go crazy with
Let's go nuts, because there's not, normally there's more bottles than this.
Right.
So we don't have more bottles of the bankruptcy ones.
But we have
plenty of whiskey. So what if we had more winners?
What if we did 10?
Let's do 10.
10 1 ounce.
10 winners. 1 ounce sample pack.
All right.
Of my Westward single barrel American single malt whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
And my Kentucky Owl Confiscated.
Both delicious. I was just sipping on this one earlier. Very fruity, very floral.
Mm-hmm.
Tastes really interesting, and I really enjoyed it. High proof stuff too, like 130 almost?
Mm.
132. So
we did that a while back ago.
That's a stout little fellow there, but I'm feeling great.
And yeah,
I love it. So let's let them know how they can enter to win. It's a free giveaway, guys. I want you to know that we're not gonna charge you anything. So just like the video, subscribe to the channel, ring the bell. You want to ring the bell because we do giveaways on every episode. So mm-hmm. you might as well just know when something's coming. Tune in, and maybe you could win more stuff down the road. So fill out the web form. Last thing you need to do is fill out the web form. It's in the description. It's a quick Google form that you can sign up for the giveaway with that. Get your basic contact information. We'll run it in the randomizer, and then we will pick our winner at random, and we'll get you your samples absolutely free. And speaking of free stuff,
mm-hmm.
That's the benefit of tuning into this channel and being a part of our family is we want to give back to the community.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to support this
mm-hmm.
and that mission, there's a few ways you can do that too. One is the Patreon. We mentioned that at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
We got several packages for every budget. So go chop around there, see what fits your budget. You are supporting a single mother, Chrissy Lynn. You are supporting Randy and his wife, Lindsay, and the mission we have going on here with the Live Stay Project and other efforts to mental health awareness. The last thing you're doing is you're supporting our ministry, my ministry, down in the Dominican Republic. So there's a huge network that you are giving to help keep the wheels running down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing you can do is just shop BRT.com, bourbonrealtalk.com, and that's where you find all the cool whiskey merch created by whiskey lovers, for whiskey lovers by yourself. Last thing here, Randy, my man, is a real estate agent in Dallas and Houston markets. And let me give you a quick tip. He gives away epic bottles as closing gifts. So if you're looking for real estate, you want to buy or sell in those areas, hit him up.
Yeah. And you can find links for all three ways to support in the video description just next to the giveaway link. And if this is your first time tuning in, I want to let you know why we do what we do. We are all about creating community and connection through whiskey and the whiskey enthusiast community. And that's something that's important to me because I lost a loved one to suicide. And after his passing and started trying to figure out, like, how did, you know, he get to this point,
mm-hmm.
I realized that we are all very dependent upon these types of connections that we have in life, that there's individuals that can say, hey, what's wrong? We can tell when something's not going the way that it's supposed to be. We are personally encouraged in our mental health journey by the connection that we have with others. And my brother is missing some of that. And I saw how Whiskey was creating those types of things. And so I thought maybe if I could get you connected to Whiskey, Whiskey do the rest of the job and get you connected to others. But for connection, you do have to have a forum for people to meet each other. And a lot of the forums are filled with negativity from Whiskey trolls. And we figured, hey, we'll create an environment that doesn't have that. So we create a Bourbon Real Talk community, which is a free Facebook-based whiskey enthusiast community. And there's no troll behavior in there. Nope. And it's one of the world's largest bourbon-focused Facebook groups. We're very proud of that. And it's been so successful, and there's such a community feel, we were able to start livestayproject.org, which is a suicide prevention and intervention nonprofit, all administered inside the whiskey world. But seeing those trolls and all that negativity taught us an important lesson, and that is, if somebody can hate you online that doesn't even know you, there's nothing that keeps us from loving you online, even though we don't really know you. And that's why we end every episode the same way, and that's this. If you woke up this morning and you're unsure whether or not anyone loved you, just know that we love you. We'll see you next time on Bourbon Real Talk. Cheers.